It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
It was a dark and stormy night. Wait, what are we doing?
But, well, it was a dark and stormy night. Go on. Don't leave me hanging.
And I needed some Popeye's chicken.
Okay.
Which they don't have anywhere around here. I really don't like that.
Okay. What happened next?
I didn't get any at the end. It's a sad story.
I think it needs some
work. In a variety
of
ways.
It starts out good, but in the middle it gets a little dicey.
You don't think it starts out a little derivative?
Oh, well.
Yeah.
But some things...
It's classic.
Yeah.
Ah.
It's not cliche, it's classic.
Okay.
But then it kind of takes... I mean, no offense, but it kind of takes a bad turn there. We'll work on it.
We got an option for a movie.
What? Really?
Yeah, I'm still casting.
Hmm.
Anyway, hello. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world that is so tired that they're going to die before the episode is over.
That's really tired.
Very tired. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. This is episode 148. We're pretty much 1 year away from our 200th episode.
Oh my god. So, 1 year until you stop hearing about this shit, people.
I'm excited.
I can tell.
I know it's a whole year away, but I do think I do think that January 8th, 2015 will be our 200th episode.
I feel like you're jinxing it.
I'm just...
Being this excited, I feel like something's gonna go bad now.
Oh.
One of us is gonna die, or... The podcast is going to get arrested.
Maybe the opposite happens. Maybe talking about it
comes
it and looking,
faster.
Well, maybe talking about it and looking forward to it. It's kind of like, you know how some pilots will like ask for a stick of gum from somebody before they go up, like test pilots, and they say, you know, I'll pay you back later. See, they owe somebody something, so they won't die because they owe somebody something and they have to live and come back and pay them back.
Are you saying you want to borrow?
No, I'm just saying maybe it's like that. We talk about it on the podcast, and now it's out there, so the cosmos can't kill us. It has to
has to
make it happen.
Okay, in that case, let's do this. Lend me $2,000. I'll pay you back on,
after we have the
200th anniversary
episode.
Yeah.
I'll think about it. I don't know where I'm going to find $2,000.
For those of you just joining us, already in progress.
We'd like to borrow a stick of gum.
Who hasn't, or $2,000. If you've never listened before, here's the basic rundown. We have a hat. The hat is magic. It is magic in that it has its own email address. That doesn't sound very magical. It sounds kind of technological. But it's magic because it's a freaking hat. It has its own email address. No other hat has its own email address. They can't process. You'd have to put the hat on the head of a person, and then they could access email. No, the hat does it all on its own, and you people, the listeners, our beloved audience, write into the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Once again, that is themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. You listeners write in with little comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat magically, on its own, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the same information written on them that manifest physically within the hat. William and I draw those little note cards out at random, read them on the air, and talk about them until we're bored. We do that for about an hour. That's the whole show.
Yeah, it's really weird how we show up and there's stuff in the hat.
It's so weird.
And we read it.
Yep.
And, you know, we're just going right off the top of our heads and stuff. We don't really rehearse
it
or prep anything. And as I've often said, if you listen long enough to the show, you'll believe it.
Real quick.
Because the quality is not great.
No.
That's another part of the magic of the hat is... Bless you.
Excuse me.
It compels us to come here and do this.
Well, I live here, so it's not as much of a compel for me.
Oh, then maybe, then I'm compelled.
I am a little. I mean, I move from the couch to
here.
Yeah,
true. You let me in the house, which you don't have to do.
There's a little compulsion, but I'm just saying, I think I'm not even sure the hat's powerful enough to compel me to go to somebody else's house once a week. On a weeknight? Yeah, no, that ain't happening. So, how was your week, William?
That was good. Projects moved forward, and I'm very grateful to all the people helping out with those.
Yeah, lots of the voices have been done for Briar Rose already. I'm really starting to feel guilty. Mm-hmm. I got to move on this.
What about you? How was your week?
Well, let me ask you one other question first, though. Did you see the return episode of Dracula?
I guess we're caught up, I guess. Sure, yeah.
Still into it?
Well, I don't know. Into it. I don't know if I was ever into it. I was interested in keep watching.
At the finale, at the temporary hiatus before.
Oh, it got really silly.
No, your vision changed to become aware of it.
That's true.
Is your vision still in that state?
Oh, yes. Yeah, yes.
It
was pretty silly.
It was a fascinating thing, though. I did not mention when I was talking about the craziness that was New Year's Eve, myself and a young woman I had never met before, a coworker of my friend Lisa's, were there. And we were both explaining to someone about Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
And we had both had a bit to drink, so it was kind of silly. But at some point, the person who we were explaining to said something about, aren't there police around to deal with this? And the young woman casually said, oh no, there's no police. And I paused, and I realized I had never seen a police officer on Dracula. Mm. Ever. Many episodes... Lots of time spent in the streets of Victorian London, murders, fights going on. I had never seen a cop. I was like, oh my God. And then, this episode, we had a cop.
Yeah, we did.
This episode, spoiler alert, the cop's dead.
Yeah. Well, I guess...
So, we had a cop for a minute. Now it's done. I don't know how I missed it. The producer was the same way. She's like, of course I knew that. I never noticed. No cops. Lots of murder and shit going on. No cops. So that was weird. No, it's still... The show's still being hilarious. Poor Atlantis is sitting there unwatched because of that.
I like your shirt.
His claws are sharp.
Have I ever seen that shirt before?
It's relatively new, so possibly not. It is poiple.
Yeah.
And I like that.
That's nice.
My week has been fairly uneventful. Haven't seen any movies. Oh, I did learn something. I learned something life-changing, thanks to the producer, who sent me the article about this. And this is information I want to impart to our listeners, or at least to a specific group of our listeners. Those of you, William, you probably won't care about this. Those of you who enjoy... McDonald's breakfast sandwiches. There must be many of you out there because they are fucking delicious. So as those of you who know about McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, you know that the McMuffin variety, of which there is egg and sausage with egg, comes with a... Basically, they might say it's a poached egg, but it's really a hard-boiled egg out of the shell. It is a round egg that has been cooked in a little round thing, so it'll have that shape and fit perfectly on the little McMuffin.
Yeah.
The non-McMuffin-based breakfast sandwiches do not have this egg. They have what I think is masquerading as an omelet, which basically they have taken... liquid egg product and cooked it into a very thin blanket and folded it several times.
Which is the way Hardee's prepares their
Yes.
You know, because I used to work at Hardee's.
Oh, okay.
Did I ever tell you that?
No.
For like a couple months, I worked at Hardee's in the morning making breakfast.
Oh.
With the biscuits and...
The fresh biscuits and all that.
I was actually the short order guy. I was making the eggs and all that stuff.
Well, see, then you know. And a lot of places do that, but especially on biscuit sandwiches. And at McDonald's, all the biscuit things have that, and like the McGriddle things and the bagel things have
but
that.
But they're famous for that round.
Yes, egg only that they on cook the McMuffins
in a little metal thing, yes, to make it round. Yeah,
and it's way better.
Okay.
Than the little the other thing's kind of gross.
Well, Hardee's used real eggs, so it wasn't egg product.
No, and I'm pretty sure.
I mean, I whipped the eggs and everything.
I don't think these. I mean, these. I'm sure these started life as egg. You can see in the drive-through where you pay, you can see the glass refrigerator door, and you can see the egg product. And now, because they have an egg white version, you can see the egg white, and it's like a milk carton.
That's too bad.
But the other one is a real egg. Well, this article was explaining to the world the wonderful thing that you can order any of the breakfast sandwiches with the round egg for no extra cost. You just say, can I have, for example, a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit with a round egg? And they know what you're talking about, and they just do it. It shows up on the screen. It says sub round egg. And it is amazing. This morning,
I believe the word you used is life change. Term you used is life changing.
Seriously, I used this morning. I'm going to use this tomorrow morning because work has got it such that I'm leaving very early without Trish. Until I swing by McDonald's for my breakfast. If you eat McDonald's sandwiches, you know what I'm talking about. This is life-changing. Mm-hmm. Seriously. The whole world... You can understand how mediocre a McDonald's sausage, egg, and... Or bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit is normally. And how really, really tasty it becomes with this one shift. It's amazing. So people, try it at your local McDonald's. Just say, with a round egg, and it'll work. It's a beautiful thing. People are going to thank me. You watch. They'll go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com, and thank me for this life-changing information.
We did watch more Godzilla this week.
Ah.
And you know what? I figured out something else. You know, we've been talking about it on the blog,
You've been talking about it on the blog.
Well, a couple people mentioned it.
Like, I've just been talking about all the fucked up things Japan does that are our fault.
I mean, Jazz...
That was a fascinating article, by the way.
Yeah, it was, actually. Jazz pointed out that I oversimplified the director's perspective when I said that he wants Godzilla to be a force of nature. Obviously, Godzilla has always been a force of nature. What I meant was... Just that. Like, he wants to take the nuclear part, yes, of it out, and the association with Japan specifically out, which that's what I objected to, not the force of nature part, which obviously is what Godzilla has always been, and all of the monsters have been, and is a very Japanese thing for Godzilla to be, even if an American director does it. But another thing I realized while we were watching more of the films was that another reason it appears to me that they stuck with someone in a suit,
mm-hmm,
was because... They didn't want Godzilla to be just a lizard. They wanted Godzilla to behave in intelligent ways. So I was thinking, if I were making Godzilla, one of the things, and I talk about a couple of things I'd do if I was making Godzilla on the blog. You should go there and read it. But another thing I'd do is I would find the guy or the group of people or whoever, or woman or whoever, who, the film, what was that planet, newer Planet of the Apes, Rise of the Planet of the Apes? No, that's the one that's coming out.
The Dawn of the Planet of the Apes?
I don't know.
We all know what movie we're fucking talking about.
Okay, but the way, you know, the CGI they did for the main chimpanzee,
yes,
becoming intelligent, get that group of people those people to figure out a way to make Godzilla like that. So it's a lizard, but you can tell that it's something's going on up there, you know what I'm saying?
So what you're saying is, with Andy Serkis as Godzilla.
Well, maybe, but you see what I'm saying? Because I really think that was important to the original Godzilla, and the more I think about it, the better I like that idea, if you can pull it off. But see, again, all of these ideas for a new Godzilla that I'm coming up with would take work. Storytelling work, technical work that I don't think American directors want to do. But not just that. Another thing I was trying to get, trying to say...
Spike Jones would do it. Spike Jones would do it.
The other thing I was trying to say last time is that what I think's really going on here is it's that common stereotype about American theater audiences that it can't be too complicated. It's got to be really straightforward. It's got to be ethnocentric. You can't make it too connected to some other culture. And I think that's really what's driving how they're going to make this new Godzilla. And I think that's a big mistake. I think that American audiences could respond very positively to something that's not American-centered and maybe a little more complicated and maybe demands a little bit more of their imagination to, you know, piece together what the story means. Don't you think?
No, but I hate everyone, so.
Well, there are a lot of popular films.
Well, here's the thing. My opinion of what the American public will be okay with in a movie is so small I can't even pay attention to because I don't give a damn. I know what I want in a movie. I would much rather see the Godzilla you talk about.
Well,
I can almost guarantee you I won't see this one.
No, I know, but let's say that it was like that. You don't think that it would, lots of people would like it? Because there are a lot of films that are
possibly
like that.
Possibly. What I'm saying is I don't care.
Are better crafted. Well, I know you don't care, but the big excuse people give for why films aren't made this way, in a well-crafted, not stupid ways, because, well, it's American audiences. They're the ones that are driving this.
No.
American audiences are stupid. I don't believe that.
The prime counterexample is Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
You know,
that movie was not built for an American audience.
No.
In fact, to the degree that I found it unsettling, because I was not used to that, but I still really liked it.
Oh,
and so did
film.
Tons of people.
Yeah, excellent film. Yeah, that's right. So when that happens, why don't people think, oh, wow, you know, if we
because,
just put a little extra work in this, we can make...
Because the people making the decisions look at lowest common denominator factors, and they're like, oh, so people like movies with martial arts. That's why right after Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, there was a slew of kind of shitty martial arts movies.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing here. They're rebooting Godzilla. All they care about is it has a giant lizard we call Godzilla. The rest of it, whatever.
Except that they know that alone won't work. I mean, the last Godzilla movie didn't do very well. So
no, but they were expecting that to work.
But then it didn't. So why can't they look at this and say, well, maybe...
No. We don't learn. No. The movie industry does not learn.
We don't learn.
No.
Come on.
The movie industry does not learn. I'm not saying the movie industry is incapable. I'm saying the facts are the facts. The movie industry does not learn. The movie industry goes along throwing shit at the wall, and as soon as something sticks, they just keep throwing at that spot until 20 million years and 20 million like installments later, they're not making enough money. So then they go to throwing random shit at the wall again.
I'm just saying...
And every once in a while, they point to a very old mark on the wall and say, hey, we threw something there and it did really good. Let's throw there again.
I'm just saying.
But it's just a stain, so they don't even know what shit they threw at the wall. So it could be totally different shit they're throwing at that exact same spot now.
I see a lot of potential in these stories. Lots.
I agree with you.
And I think it would make not only a great film from a filmmaking and storytelling craft perspective, but I think it would be a very successful.
Yes.
I mean, maybe even a successful franchise.
And the only disagreement we are having here is our belief of why the movie industry is not doing this. My belief is the movie's not doing this because of aforementioned throwing random shit at the wall theory that I won't explicate again.
They don't learn.
Your theory is,
No, my theory
why?
Is reason.
That's
there's
always
there's
your...
reason. Like,
wait, what?
You can reason this out. You can put it together and you can go, yeah, that makes sense. Let's do that because that's probably a good risk.
No. Again, you're talking about what's a good idea for them to do. Our difference, I agree that's a good idea. Our difference is why they're not doing it.
I still don't understand that.
Exactly.
Because money.
Because in all of these conversations.
Money, I'm saying this will make money.
I know. In all of these conversations.
They're required to learn.
No, in all of these conversations you and I have,
yeah.
Says, you know what they should do? They should do this.
Right.
And our fundamental issue is our disagreement between why they aren't, which my answer is usually some form of they're stupid and they can't learn. And your answer is always just a big 5-pound bag of question marks.
What? Because I don't believe that, I guess. I don't believe they're stupid, and I don't believe they're human beings. They can't be that...
Well, call it what you want. Like... Apathetic, sloth, paranoid.
Okay. Whatever it is, it makes them not want to work very hard at this.
Yes.
And still make a lot of money, which those two things don't really go together. I mean, well, I guess they do in their experience. They're oftentimes doing nothing and making loads of money.
It is what is called conservative betting.
Yeah, I guess.
And so, with the exception of the dude who came up with Waterworld, the dude who came up with John Carter of Mars, sorry, it was just John Carter, that's part of the problem. The dude who came up with Superman Returns, and this kind of shit, like, with those exceptions, they're all fine. And they don't want to bring the world a better Godzilla. They want a bigger boat.
Well, you know, in a way, it's not about a better Godzilla. It's a Godzilla that, you know, is inspired by the original material, which had a lot of good things about it. It's, you know, I used to sort of, oh, Godzilla, haha, you know, that's just a big joke. But it isn't really. When you watch it, you realize there's a lot of good story craft in here.
I'm very tired, so I can't do it. I want you to imagine my eyes rolling. I'm very tired, so I can't get them up there. But imagine just the biggest goddamn, like, my eyes pop out the back of my head, bounce off the wall, pop back in, and rattle around a little bit.
Why would you do that?
I wouldn't. It would hurt. I mean, but if I could, it would be
What are you rolling your eyes about?
Because I don't care.
Well, I know you don't care, but that's not the point.
Absolutely the point.
Okay.
By the way, I would like to bring up an interesting phenomenon that I'm noticing lately. Mm. Certain people like to listen, and you know who you are, but there's more of you, so don't think you're the only one, like to listen to the podcast, and at the time they are listening, they like to imagine that they have a speaker to their ear that is of a live person. Specifically a live me, I think. They might think you're pre-recorded, I don't know. But they think I'm live. And they think that they have a microphone that goes to an earpiece I have, and that said microphone is Twitter. People tweet comments to me about things they hear in the podcast without any context at all, and sometimes not the current episode. So no one, including sometimes me, can figure out what the fuck they're talking about. It is amazing. I just imagine that in their head, they think I'm there with them, and this is a conversation that we're having, whereas in reality, it was 3 weeks ago, and I don't know what they're talking about.
Well, you wouldn't know what they were talking about if it was just the previous night.
Good point.
Because that's happened on the blog.
I barely know what we're talking about now. Something about how racists are killing Godzilla.
Well,
for money.
I wouldn't put it like that, but it's not good.
Can we do Alien versus Godzilla versus Predator?
No, Godzilla's too big.
Predator can ride Godzilla. No, Predator will ride Alien against Godzilla. There'll be a bunch of them, maybe like a Zerg rush kind of thing on Godzilla. But then Godzilla just goes,
you could do,
and shoots that film scratch out of his mouth.
You could do Kong versus Godzilla, because that was like the second Godzilla movie was King Kong versus Godzilla.
Really? Who won?
Well, I don't know, because I haven't seen that one. But
What?
I know, I will see it, but here's the thing. King Kong is like a lot smaller than Godzilla if you compare movie to movie. In that movie they're closer to the same size.
Well, oh God, no, never mind. There is no there's a real awesome joke right there. It's super racist.
Okay, good.
So I'm gonna leave
Let's just leave it.
But the producer and I were talking just the other day about we got onto the topic of Batman versus Superman, and then we got onto the topic of Batman versus Wonder Woman. And the producer says, well, Superman wins. And I said, no, I'm pretty sure Batman wins. And she said, why? And I tried to explain to her, Batman always wins.
Yeah.
Because he's a sociopath. Because Batman right now, in his home, because Batman's a real dude and he's in his home right now, is brainstorming various superheroes that he's friends with, that he's always been friends with, and what if someday he has to fight them? And then he's preparing an emergency kit to fight them.
That's right.
Because he's a sociopath.
There's even a series of stories about that.
Yes. So it's always Batman versus. Apparently, Batman versus Wonder Woman, they stop.
No, wait, but tell him why Superman wins. In my argument.
I can't remember your argument. Oh, that's right, that's right. If he lost, he would fly around backwards the world and turn back time and try again.
Right.
But I'm like, no, because Batman has kryptonite. He kept it around for a long time, just in case. Because he's that kind of asshole.
No, that's absolutely right.
Yes.
Did I tell you that I saw recently also all the King Kong movies, all three of them, the one from 1933 and the one from 1970?
No, how was that?
Well, I watched them all to confirm a theory I had after watching the 70s version. And I've concluded that, you know, how Godzilla represents, you know, the bomb, and all the other creatures represent, you know, forces of nature and stuff. What does King Kong represent?
Capitalism.
No.
I think there's a good argument for that, but anyway.
Well, actually, no. I mean, yes, you can work that in, especially in the newer version of the film. Mm. I mean, I think that was deliberate. They tried to kind of put that in there, but from the first film to the second film, and even in the, you can't even route it out in the third one, even though they kind of tried. King Kong represents two things: the West's fear of women and black men.
Nice. I wasn't gonna go there because I thought it'd be rude. But if you're gonna go there,
no, I don't see how you can get around it. Dude. The 70s version makes it really clear. I mean, in a really scary, kind of sickening way. But in the third film, they try to push it away, like, oh, we're, you know, they make the female characters stronger and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the whole beauty of the Beast motif, you can't get past it. In fact, the stronger that female character is, and the more non-stereotype. I mean, she's not even really damseled in the movie. She escapes from Kong herself, and then she's back with him voluntarily. And when the guy comes and accompanies her back to the camp.
Spoiler alert for some King Kong movie. I don't even know which
one. It's more of a, he doesn't so much rescue her as he just shows up and she just goes with him. So, but that just makes her seem even more threatening in the bigger context of, you know, 'tis beauty killed the beast or whatever.
Mm.
The racist aspects of it are, it's obvious that Peter Jackson tried to tone it down, but you get
weird slave overtones and savage overtones.
That's
and
right.
Stuff.
That's right. As long as you have that element, you can't get past that.
It was free. A coworker just recently saw the 2-part pilot for the A-Team, the old original TV series.
Oh yeah, sure.
And she said it was pretty bad.
well. Yeah, it's not
and
that good.
And also Dirk Benedict wasn't cast as Face yet; it was some other guy. But the thing that really bugged her was it was a little bit extra racist with B.A. Baracus.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, you know, the thing B.A. hates to fly.
Yeah,
that's the thing throughout the show. Yeah. And they trick him; they knock him unconscious. Frequently, they knock him unconscious by drugging his milk. He loves milk. Well, they don't do that in the pilot. In the pilot, they just, when he's not looking, they stick a syringe in his neck,
mm-hmm.
and then they put him on the plane, and then they tie him up very securely on the plane. When asked about it, they respond that, because if he wakes up while we're still in the air, he'll kill all of us.
Okay.
And she's like, and at that moment I noticed that he really did kind of look like a caged gorilla in the scene, and the whole thing was just really, really disconcerting.
I see.
Yeah. So everything is racist, is what we're saying. Not just William's pep band.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. We got shit to do.
Well, what do you mean?
Besides the hat? Your Christmas present.
Why did you get me a Christmas present?
Because it was Christmas time. And.
Awesome!
Also true. And.
Well, that's nice.
We weren't late. They were late.
Who's they?
The people we ordered it from.
Oh.
We ordered it. We're like, it's coming. And they're like, oh, we are too popular. It's not going to show up until January. And we're like, fuck you. But we couldn't do it. So it's wrapped in this fashionable shopping bag.
Oh, gracious.
Now, I'm going to give you a hint about what it is.
Why are you going to do that?
Because I think it's funny.
Oh.
Do you remember what we got you last year?
Well, I mean, I remember you getting me a shirt that I already owned.
That was 2 years ago. Do you remember what we got you last year?
Oh, you're going to have to remind me.
Oh, fuck you.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
please don't be like that because you know that I don't remember
things. We got you a cookbook.
What?
That we made a cookbook that we
oh,
made.
Oh, that's right.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's right.
But anyway.
And it's very nice, by the way.
2 years ago, we got you a shirt that you already own.
Yeah, but I loved it.
What kind of shirt was it?
It was a Mary Shelley shirt.
Yes.
awesome.
Specifically a Mary Shelley Frankenstein.
Yeah, Frankenstein. Sure. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas!
Thank you. Okay, I'm unwrapping it now. I'm sure you can hear.
It's not. Do not adjust your set.
The fancy wrapping.
This is, yeah.
Here, you can have that back.
For the viewer at home.
It's a white shirt with, like, text on it. What kind of text? What is it? Well, there's text, and then there's, the text is broken up by white space, and the white space is a, like a profile of a person, but the text is, I don't know what the text is. I'll have to look closer at it.
Yeah, look at some of it and
I don't,
see.
But, you know, I don't see very well anymore.
Oh, old people.
I have no idea if I'm going to be able to read it.
That is a good radio.
I don't know if I'm seeing it right. You know, I probably need bifocals.
And
I never should have admitted that.
Corrective shoes.
You might have to help me out here because I'm having a hard time seeing it.
What you are seeing here is the text of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein in its entirety.
In its entirety?
Well, that no shirt the text, that's so is tiny. The book.
Really?
Yes.
Wait, where's the beginning of it?
Ugh.
That's frustrating. You don't know?
No. There's a line that some people put out of famous works of fiction, famous novels, that it has the whole text on it. There's like some Jane Austen ones.
Oh, and is this supposed to...
I think that's supposed to be the creature, is my guess.
Oh, this is supposed to be the creature's profile.
I would think so.
Oh, and because some of the text looks like a little scar or something. Yeah. Down the, oh.
That's the whole of the book.
I don't think I'm going to believe you until I can actually see.
Well, I don't know. We can send you the website.
It's so small.
I didn't verify it or any shit like that, so they could be lying.
There should be a way for you to get to the beginning. Of course, I still won't be able to see it because it's too little. Well, that's very nice. Thank you. But I still want to see.
The producer found it, and she's like, I want to tell you about these shirts. And I'm like, those are cool. She's like, and they got Frankenstein. I'm like, oh, okay. And I think we got Pride and Prejudice for her sister.
Oh,
except we didn't get hers as a shirt. You can also get them as, like, just a poster thing. So we got that for
her.
Oh,
okay. So I see this says chapter.
Or tote bags.
This says chapter two, so
all right.
I think. That says chapter two there. So if I go back, I might find chapter one.
I counted on you not being able to read it. It's actually Lady Chatterley's Lover, just to fuck with you. What?
Oh, there's chapter three.
It's called Lintographs.
Lintographs?
No, lit as in
lithographs. Oh,
Lintographs.
Chapter 15. Yes, if you want to check these out, they're called Lintographs.
Okay, I'm getting...
Like L-I-T-O... G-R-A...
I'm getting a bit of a headache. I'm going to have to buy a magnifying glass just to read my shirt.
Or a book. Oh, they have it in much easier to read formats.
I recognize that's one of the characters' names right there.
So, okay.
Okay, I get it.
So here's the thing. Do you do a large print edition for people who have trouble reading or for fat people? Like, I don't even know.
This is kind of embarrassing not being able to read this. I guess I need to get my eyes checked and ask the guy if I should...
It's kind of embarrassing for me, too, because I feel like the primary reaction we got out of you for this gift is to prove to you that you're old and blind.
Oh. No,
I thought
you'd
be way more excited than freaked out about finding the beginning of the chapter.
No, I am excited about it. It's awesome. And yes, it goes so well with my other shirt, except in a way that other people won't realize...
I know, it's sneaky. It's Secret Squirrel.
I'm wearing another Frankenstein shirt.
Was pretty sure you didn't own this one.
No, I didn't even know
it
existed.
To be fair, was pretty sure you didn't own the last one either, and yet...
Well, the other one was also a gift. Jazz got it for me.
Oh.
I seem to recall. Because I didn't know about it. She got it for me.
Yes, one of those people you're having a podcast affair with. One of your podcast mistresses.
Should we not be talking about that? Because, I mean, we joke about it, but would you rather me not talk about the podcast?
No, I would be pissed if you didn't, because then I wouldn't be able to bitch about it.
Oh, okay.
Please, have you met me?
Well, I just didn't know.
Okay.
I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking, wow, we joke a lot about this and stuff, but maybe it really bothers
him. No, people don't understand. That is a thing some people do. That is not me. If something really bugs me, here's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Something happens in the first episode, it comes up. After we're recording, I say to you, hey, William, can we not talk about that?
Well,
and you're like, oh, sure, buddy, whatever.
No, right. I do know that about you, but
if I'm bitching about stuff, odds are I'm enjoying it.
But I also know that you wouldn't feel comfortable, like, just censoring me or something, so it might...
No, I would tell you off the air.
Well, I know, but...
So, after we're done recording, I'm gonna...
That's not what I meant. I meant...
Be pissed.
That maybe, even though you didn't like it, you would have felt like it was bad form to censor me on it.
Yeah, because I'm so concerned with bad form.
Well, that's a good point. Okay, I can't find chapter one, but still, this is very awesome.
How much inappropriate, mean, hurtful stuff have I said to you just in the last half hour, let alone any other time? Totally.
Huh.
See?
Oh, is this why that person wrote in that one time that asking why you're so mean to me?
No, that is... Oh, possibly.
Yeah.
I thought you meant... I have had multiple instances of listeners want to know why I hate them specifically.
Well, yes, but that's different. Because they don't know you.
I hate everybody.
Well, this is very nice. Thank you so much.
All right.
But you know what's going to happen? I'm going to get like a magnifying glass, and I'm going to attempt to read the whole thing off this shirt.
And it's not going to be the whole thing, and you're going to blame me.
Well, I mean, see here where the collar is. That whole text is probably gone.
Well, and for all we know, there was text behind the silhouette that's gone. I don't know, but that's what they claim. Like, these fuckers are saying that they did it.
Oh, because see, look, like.
So if they didn't do it, and I'm expected to pay for a shirt and a book.
Well,
it's a rip-off.
I have a really nice book.
No, I'm...
Hardback book.
By I mean a customer.
Oh, I see. Oh.
They're like, no, I bought this...
you would buy this shirt because you wanted to read the novel.
I'm like, I want to wear clothes, and I want to read a novel. I can't afford both. I assume that's why they made this. It's, you know, for people who don't want to waste time with separate clothes and books. And if you can't read it, well, then fuck it, you know? I'll just buy a t-shirt and a book.
Well, you know what I'm seeing here? Where the white part is, the letters get a little further apart, and you can kind of make them out better. And right at the top of the head, it's talking about the alchemical aspects of the story, which people always ignore. Because, you know, we've talked about this before. People always say, well, the monster was stitched together with dead body parts. But that's not what happens. What happens is he forms the body, the creature's parts. That's the reason the creature's so large, is because he's forming the individual small parts himself, and he has to make the creature larger because his own hands are too big to make small human-sized parts. So he creates all of the parts of the creature from some other substance, not a human flesh, but some other substance, and then brings it to life using alchemical processes. Or at least that's what's implied.
I always feel like people ignore the alchemical aspects of the old TV show Friends. As well, similar thing.
But anyway, that's awesome. Thank you so much for that.
All right, Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Oh, 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 oh.
Okay, I'm going to try to not stare at it anymore because I'm getting a headache, and B, we've got other things to do.
Yes, your eyes are crossed.
Well, actually, I do have a lazy eye, so my eyes usually are crossed.
All right, so now you're going to give us a book report on your shirt. So it's shirt report. It was a shirt report. And don't just watch the movie and do a report on that. No, it has to be a report on your shirt.
Dear dissonant and confused forced voices of the magical talking hat.
Oh, God damn it, I know who this is.
It's Azure Talon with 3 exclamation points.
Then you're not saying it right.
What is the secret?
No, you got it. Who is it from?
It's Azure Talon with 3 exclamation
Does
points.
It say Azure Talon and then say the word with and then the word 3
sure.
Or the number 3?
Sure, it does.
I don't believe you. Who's it from?
I just said, What is the secret?
It's from
what?
Edgerton!
What is the secret to good pie crust?
Butter.
I've heard that. I've heard that's true. Well, the right shortening, anyway. To use the right, correct shortening when you're... And I don't know what the correct shortening is, but I've heard that also. I've also heard that the secret to a good pie crust is finding the right store to buy it from.
That's the thing.
I made a pie once, an apple pie once, and it was the first time I ever made an apple pie, and I was following a recipe.
Recipe, that's what we call them.
And
was it on the shirt?
No. And it turned out excellent. I don't take any credit for it because all I did was follow the instructions.
Recipe.
Exactly.
Why are you having so much trouble with that word?
What I'm trying to say is...
The stuff that tell me how to make it good.
Whatever the recipe was, it was a good recipe, I guess. So maybe that's the secret, is you just have the right recipe and you follow those instructions exactly.
What did the recipe say about crust?
I don't know. I just did what it said. I didn't think about it or reflect on it and think, this like must be the important part.
You put out the recipe and then went and took a nap, and when you came back, a pie had been made and you assumed you did
it? No, I did it, but, I mean, I think what I used was a Crisco, you know? Crisco.
Yeah, Crisco.
They used to have commercials. Crisco used to have commercials about how they made the best crust, and I guess, I used Crisco and it made a pretty good crust.
Yeah,
so.
You know. I can tell, like, there are crusts on a pie that I will really like. Very rarely am I like, this crust is shit. Even when it's like store-bought and stuff.
Yeah,
like
I agree. It's not often.
I like crust on pie.
Yeah, it's not often not that I've had a crust that I thought was bad or something.
It does happen, but it's rare.
Yeah.
You can have real crap crust. So the secret is following the recipe that William had. But do you have that for us here?
No.
Then you're screwed.
You know, it was my grandma's or my mom's or both of, I don't know, together their recipe or something. It was just an age-old, you know, kind of deal. I think most pie recipes that you find that people say, oh, this has been in my family for years or whatever, is probably going to give you a really good pie crust no matter what you do. People talk about it like it's something that's hit or miss and that you can really mess up easily, but I'm pretty sure that it's really not that hard.
I don't know. With baked goods, there is a bit where you cut shortening or cut butter into your dry ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
You can fuck that up. Mm. It's a thing where you're supposed to end up with crumbs of a certain size.
Sure, sure.
And you can do too big or too small, and then it all goes to hell.
Mm. Well, so I must have got lucky then.
Proper cutting might be.
I'd never done it before, and I just... I'm sure the directions...
It's in your blood.
No.
You have crust in your blood. I want you to go see the doctor.
No, I must have...
not right.
I must have just been lucky there. I mean, the thing is, I didn't... if I recall, I used like a canned filling or something. I didn't make the filling. The crust was the specific thing that I made. And it was great. I'm pretty sure it was just the recipe.
People... are terrible. No. people, if you have a pie, let's say apple,
mm-hmm.
and you tell people, here's my pie, I made the crust from scratch.
Yeah.
I put the filling in from just a can of shit filling.
Yeah, yeah.
People are like, oh, you made the crust? Awesome! Da-da-da-da! However, you say to people, here's my pie. The crust is store-bought, but I homemade the filling.
Mm-hmm.
They don't so much care. They're like, oh, good for you.
Really?
But people seem way more impressed with homemade crust than with homemade filling. And I don't think that's fair.
No, you're right.
Because I have seen what happens to make homemade filling. I think in people's mind, they're like, you stick some apples in a pan... with some cinnamon and cook it down.
It's not,
there is shit involved.
Yeah, you've got to have a good recipe for that too, and it takes some time, and you got to pick the right apples.
I feel like people are not impressed enough by that.
Yeah, I would have
and
to agree
if
what you're saying is true. I'd have to agree with that.
And in some ways, especially if you get a good store-bought crust, I think it makes more difference than the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
I am a little biased. The producer makes pie fillings as one of the things she cans. But they're really good.
Yeah, the pie... I mean, the adult at my house makes pies from... everything from scratch.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just excellent that way.
Even the pan?
No.
Go ahead and smelt the...
Not the pan.
The aluminum?
The crust and everything. Well, you know, and now the pies have gluten-free... I mean, that she makes have gluten-free
Ooh.
Crust. That's tricky.
Yes, yes, it
but,
is.
But they end up pretty good. I mean, they taste good to me. Although I'm not that particular, I guess.
There's a commercial
compared to a lot of people.
Right now for almond milk in which a guy, a human-looking guy, fights.
Human-looking? What?
Like he's like a real-life person. This is not a cartoon or anything. It's an actual person.
Okay.
Argues with a talking almond.
About what?
Trying almond milk.
The almond wants him to try it?
Yes.
Hmm.
And he won't. The almond gets very angry. Because...
Yeah.
The man's explanation for why he won't try it is because he doesn't know what it's going to taste like.
Yeah, that's not a very good reason.
The almond is this great synthesis sort of you and me. Because he's having the argument saying, like, you're not thinking reasonably, and reasonably you should try it. That would make much more sense.
Because you don't know what it's
exactly,
gonna, yeah, exactly.
Which is you. It's like me, because he's kind of being a dick about it. At one point he just says, that's insane. And, spoiler for the Silk vanilla almond milk commercial, the guy tries it, likes it. Likes it better than dairy milk, which I kind of call bullshit.
Okay.
Also, in the argument, the almond's argument is, you do know what it's going to taste like. It's going to taste like almonds.
And a little like milk.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Flavor-wise and texture.
And he's not wrong, but I don't like almond milk.
I like almond milk.
I don't know why. I feel like I should. I'm disappointed in myself that I don't, but it's weird. I don't know. And it tastes like almonds, but something, it's like a milk uncanny valley or something. It freaks me out.
Man,
to be fair, I've had unsweetened.
You've got a bacon uncanny valley. You've got a milk uncanny valley. That's true.
That's true.
That's how the uncanny,
bacon candy.
Yeah. That's how the uncanny valley flavor thing
you
came
can try
out.
The bacon candy.
No, I'm not.
It don't have no bacon in it.
I'm not going to try it.
It probably has like 12 things
yeah,
you don't eat. That. It probably is full of gluten. And soy.
Yeah. Uncanny valley of flavor.
Uncanny. Sounds like the worst product tagline ever.
Well.
Try new da-da-da. An uncanny valley of flavor in every bite. Oh my god, there's an entire, like, Kids in the Hall style sketch built around this. I just have to work on it. And now I have to change my mind. Because before, the title of the episode was going to be Shirt Report. Now it's going to be Uncanny Valley of Flavor.
I was a little surprised you didn't use that last time with the bacon, but...
Did I say Uncanny Valley last time?
No, I said Uncanny Valley.
Did you say it last time?
Yes. And
okay.
You said, yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's an Uncanny Valley of
and
bacon.
And then I forgot, so I did it all again just now.
Because you said it was too close to being bacon,
it
but
was.
Without being bacon, I said, "Oh, kind of like an uncanny valley." And you said, "Yes, an uncanny valley of bacon." I think that's exactly what.
Do you remember Sizzling?
What?
Move over, bacon.
Oh, because it was made from
now
beef.
Now there's something leaner.
No.
I have no idea what it was made from.
Beef, because
I never had Sizzling.
Well, because that's what we had. Because remember, I grew up. Mom
you weren't fond of pork.
No, they didn't. We just didn't have pork in the house. Mom didn't feed us pork, so when we had anything that was bacon-like, it had to be either...
Did you grow up Muslim?
No, I've told you this 1,000 times. Mom was a Seventh-day Adventist before she married my dad. And
I thought Seventh-day Adventists just don't eat meat.
They don't eat pork.
Really?
And a lot of them are vegetarians, but some of them...
All the ones I've known are.
Yeah, but some of them who eat meat will only eat the so-called clean meats, you know.
Not pork.
Well, not a lot of things.
Oh, all the kosher.
Yeah, exactly.
Not shellfish. Not,
right,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right, right. So, but you know, she became a Methodist when she married Dad, but she still didn't want the family to
okay.
eat any pork.
So you guys had Sizzling.
Yeah.
And it was made out of beef.
Yeah.
So it's like super bland Euro meat, basically.
Well, I don't know. It was all right.
I don't even understand. Like, I remember the commercials because they were fucking everywhere. Never touched it. And back then, it was interesting because there weren't bacon substitutes. There was bacon. There was sizzling. That was it. They didn't have fucking turkey bacon,
but, I mean,
soy bacon.
But think about it. We, you know,
bacon, as we call that.
We had hot dogs. We had to have beef hot dogs. You know? Oh. We had to have beef everything.
Armor. Not yeah. Armor.
The only
ballpark.
The only pork we had in our house was...
A little Vietnamese potbelly pig that was a pet.
No.
Your brother was made out of pork.
Dad
the nightstand.
Liked pepperoni on his pizza. So, and he would have pepperoni on his pizza, but we wouldn't have it. The kids wouldn't have it. But that's the only pork he would eat, and we wouldn't eat that or any other pork when we were growing up. So, I've never had a pork chop, for example. Ever. I mean, when I went to college...
Dude, you can't say that on the air.
When I went
they will kick you out of Iowa.
You said that the last time I said I've
because
never had a pork
it will
chop.
Happen.
When I came to the University of Iowa,
have you ever eaten a butterfly?
No.
That's a kind of pork chop.
When I came to the University of Iowa, you know, and I had a meal plan at the cafeteria or whatever. I did.
Yes, and it was University of Iowa, so I'm assuming it started with 5 pork chops a week.
No. But, like, I think I had, that's the first time I ever had, like, a ham and cheese sandwich. And like sausage on pizza, I think that happened a couple times before I became a vegetarian, because I was a vegetarian when by the time I was like a sophomore or something in college. But that's the only pork stuff I've ever had.
Did I tell you about my friend in college?
I've never even had like a decent ham or anything.
My friend in college who only ate like 5 things. Ever. It might have been more like 6. Here's what he ate.
Was his last name right? Because that sounds like my family.
No, but here's what he ate. He would eat, and this was his primary food stuff, was cooked pasta, lightly salted, no butter, no anything else on it. Just cooked pasta, lightly salted. He would make his own bread, and he would eat that. It was really good. He would share it with us sometimes, with butter.
Why was he so particular about his bread?
I don't know, but he would make his own bread. He really loved potato chips. He would eat peanuts, apples. I believe specifically Red Delicious apples. And milk. He would drink milk. Or I assume water, but that was it. And this was all he ate. And as far as I know, he had no allergies. This was just his thing. But when you were living on campus, which you had to do at least 2 years, and usually more like 3, at my college... You had to be on some meal plan. There were reduced ones, but even that was like 18 meals a week or something. So he was just throwing money away. He couldn't not. And the only thing he would do is sometimes he would go to a meal with us, and he would sit down, and it's cafeteria, so they had those little tiny glasses, the old-style glasses that probably hold exactly a cup.
Mm-hmm.
And he would get like 3 or 4 of them, fill them with milk, sit down, drink them, spending about like 5 minutes with us, and then leave. With his only use in the cafeteria, because he couldn't find anything else that he would actually eat there.
Wow.
It is weird.
Remember, my family eat beef things like pot roast and hamburgers, and not steak very often, but they'll eat steak.
Yeah.
Chicken. Baked beans.
Potatoes, I assume?
Potatoes. Mostly mashed. Canned green beans and peas, corn, some of them, but not my dad because that's pig food.
No, feed corn is pig food. Sweet corn is grown.
For some reason, my dad associates corn with pig food, so he can't eat it. Although maybe
when he was younger, a pig beat him with an ear of corn.
If you put even a little bit of onion in something, my dad will be able to tell and he won't like it. No onions. The rest of my family also doesn't like onions, but they're not that particular about it. A little onion in it, they might not even notice. I think I've named everything my family... peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
You're insane. But I find it weird because it seems like your family was insane in a totally different way. So I don't... Like, a lot of my crazy...
Not a lot of things...
Is similar to my family's crazy. A lot of Trisha's crazy is similar to her family's crazy. Your crazy seems to be often directly opposed.
Well, I see that a lot of my characteristics...
You're crazy.
Or whatever. I do take a lot of things... Well, for example, you know, I'm a vegetarian. Well, why am I vegetarian? Well, because I am concerned about, you know, health and, you know, what I eat and stuff. Why am I concerned about that? Well, among other things, I was taught when I was young that, you know, you probably shouldn't smoke or drink or take drugs because those things are bad for you, and you or whatever. So,
But eat whatever you fucking want.
Well.
Clearly. This is the other thing. Like, the bits that you did specifically take, I don't think anybody was giving. I think you learned lessons that nobody intended to teach you.
But see, but the rest of my family, they don't. None of the five kids in my family have ever had any alcohol, ever.
Yeah, but they don't eat for shit.
Well.
Clearly.
Well, right. But see, food wasn't so much part of it in the house. But I logically extended it to food and other things.
But your siblings are illogical.
No. They're not illogical. They just, I mean, they definitely see the logic of what I'm doing. They just don't, they just think that's not really necessary. I mean, it's one thing to abstain from things that they consider poisonous. It's another thing to eat anything outside of the realm of food that they used to, because there's nothing wrong with the food that they're eating. It's not poison that they're eating. See what I'm saying? So just eating what they eat is fine.
But this is what I'm saying. I feel like you ended up drawing out of this what not only none of your siblings did, but your parents didn't intend.
No, that's probably true.
I feel like there's a lot of stuff like this.
Well, and actually, my father and I have had some debates about these things, some healthy debates about them.
Did you sneak some onion into something and he punched you?
No. We argue about, my family argues about stuff. That's what we do. And so nobody gets angry or has any hard feelings or anything. It's just what we do.
Even over onions?
Even over anything. Oh. So there are a lot of things. That's precisely the kind of arguments that he and I would have, was he would look at things I'm doing and he's saying, you're taking that way too far. And I would argue to him, I'm just logically extending what you taught me. So
I learned about watching you.
Yeah, by watching you, exactly. But he thinks, well, you know, there's no reason to take it to a logical
Look
extreme.
Look what I found under your bed.
But see,
a vegetarian magazine. Who taught you how to do this stuff?
But what he calls a logical extreme, I call a logical conclusion. But it's just a difference of opinion.
I call it an extreme conclusion. Extreme!
But yeah, so you're right. I take it all at a place that the rest of my siblings didn't, and my parents didn't really intend, and my father often even objects to, but...
But now,
but they
you know,
still, they still love me.
When you're eating your vegetarian stuff, your vegan, your almost vegan stuff,
mm-hmm.
if you say, with a round egg, they'll give it to you. It tastes so much better.
Yeah, I guess.
We ate all our time.
Okay.
All we have tonight is the shit Azure Talon question. Sorry, the shit Azure Talon question.
Well, thank you, Azure Talon, with 3 exclamation points.
That's not how you say it.
Well.
Why do you hate his name?
His name's fine. I just, I think last time I said it that way and it was so loud, and I realized I could look away like you're doing, but I don't know if that'll work.
When I posted, people are catching up, by the way. Traffic was kind of slowing down and now it's picking up again.
That usually happens around the holidays. Yes.
I noticed. Like, okay. The day before, the day after, somewhere around there, when I posted the actual Christmas episode, I looked at the traffic, and there was one hit on the Christmas episode from the previous year.
That was me.
I know!
I listen.
I know you do that. Anytime there's a holiday, you're like, I'm going to listen to the last
yep,
holiday.
Yep, that's what I do.
That's what happens
fun.
Now with the Thanksgiving one, with the Halloween one.
It's gratifying to listen to old episodes and, you know,
so we're not that bad anymore?
Yeah. Well, no, to listen and think, hey, that wasn't too bad at all. I mean, I actually was entertained by this thing that I'm in, which is hard for me because I'm often not.
Mm.
Well, of course, mostly you're the
entertained by things you're
most of the time you're the entertaining one and not me, but still, it's like, oh, this isn't so bad.
I don't listen to this podcast specifically because of you.
Well, okay, but...
If it was just me, I would totally listen.
But it's
sometimes
fun to
I try
to
and recreate the episodes.
They're not
just
too bad.
With me.
But one of these days, I'm going to listen to one, and I'm going to be cringing all the way through, and I'm going to think, "Gosh, why do I keep
go
doing
back
this?
To the really early ones?"
No, I've done that, and yeah,
they're kind of cringy.
They're a little rough, but But it's
which
fun
is
to
why
listen.
We lost so many listeners so fast. Okay, people, we gotta wrap this shit up. I gotta get this guy out of here and go sleep. Because I'm gonna have to get up at 5 again tomorrow. If you would like to write the hat, follow your dream. Write the hat. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Once again, TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Won't you? Also, if you'd like to talk to us, or about us, but in a way that we'll see, go to the blog, TheMagicalTalkingHat.com. Once again, TheMagicalTalkingHat.com. Go there and say things at our website that will get into our eyeballs. We like that.
Yeah.
And you do too.
Sure you do.
And the producer does. The producer sees all that shit, so you should be ready for that. And anyway, otherwise, we will talk to you next week, and hopefully I will be more awake.
I'm going to read my shirt. Eventually, when I can see. Gosh, they're so small.
Present has had...
I feel so old.
Secondary effects that I could not have foreseen.
Oh, look, some of it's in all caps. I don't remember that.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.